The story of David and Goliath. I wonder if we did a straw poll to find out the average age that we first ever heard this story. Probably be somewhere around 7 or 8, wouldn't it? Something like this. A classic children's story. But actually, it's a classic adult story for us too as well. So, Paul, if you want to just put the slide up there for us first. We're going through a series of being plugged into God, fully charged. Throughout the month of September, we were looking at the situation when we're depleted, we were struggling, and we're running on empty. And the flip side of that also is that there are other times where we are on fire for God. God is working in our lives. And particularly, we see a lot of Bible characters who do great things for God. And many of us kind of salivate that we'd love to see God do that kind of thing in and through us. And the assumption is that they're really plugged into God, really tuned in, and therefore is able to use them. And yet, really, when we look at the life of David, we see something, we see the outworking of his relationship with God, most definitely, and we see his relationship with God develop throughout the years. But this story here is right back at the beginning, and something is going on there in this little kid's life. Some people reckon he was between the ages of 8 and 15 when he challenged Goliath, which is quite awesome when you think about it. And so I just wanted to spend some time this morning explaining a bit about what it was that really prepared David to be able to challenge Goliath and then take the throne of Israel. We all have Goliath, don't we, in our lives, metaphorically speaking, the things which we face. And some of us have a sense of destiny, a sense of calling, that God has something for us, and we haven't yet seen it or walked into it all. And there are some really good answers for us in this passage. So we're going to try and get the words up on the screen for 1 Samuel 17. But if you've got a Bible, turn with me there. 1 Samuel 17. And we're going to read just the verses 20 all the way through to verse 58. So a bit of a long stretch. We've seen it on the video, so our minds are fresh. But there's two parts of this story which I really want us to pick up on. I'm just going to need to move these Maltesers out of the way. Anybody like to hold them for me? No. Okay, so 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're looking at verse 20. Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army were going out to its battle position, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel." David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" What an insult. We ought to re-employ that today. "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You come down only to watch the battle." "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You're not able to go out against the Philistines and fight him. You're only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I can't go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of a shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, a bit like me, and he despised him. That's the young bit, I mean. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said. Sorry, that's not in there. I did that bit. That's really evil, isn't it? And I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with the sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. We saw that bit on the video, didn't we? Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him, reached into his bag, and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with a sword, and the blood ran down his body and was oozing out everywhere. I was just getting a bit too into it there. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn along the Sharon road to Gath and Ekron. When the Israelites returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their camp. David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put the Philistine's weapons in his own tent. As Saul watched David going out to meet the Philistine, he said to Abner, commander of the army, Abner, whose son is that young man? Abner replied, as surely as you live, O king, I don't know. The king said, find out whose son this young man is. As soon as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, with David still holding the Philistine's head. Whose son are you, young man? Saul asked him. David said, I'm the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem. Well, talk about announcing yourself to the world. That is a modern day rise to fame, isn't it? Literally came out of nowhere. That is not an uncommon thing. We see that many, many years over. I've got a picture of four people that I'm just going to put up here, and you'll probably recognize some of them. And they've had exactly the same situation happen to them. They've literally come out of nowhere and made a big impact on our society. No pressure. There we go. Look at that. Four people. When Arsene Wenger became the manager of Arsenal, any Arsenal fans here? Dear Father, we just asked. The common phrase was Arsene who? No one had ever heard about him. And the question was, how has he been prepared to come from obscurity to manage Arsenal? Well, the answer was he'd been managing in Japan. Now, Japan is not the greatest footballing nation on the face of the earth. And it's a bit of a leap. But that's what Arsene Wenger had been doing. He had been prepared to manage Arsenal through his work in Japan. You may recognize this lady on the bottom left-hand side. Who's seen the film 12 Years a Slave? Seen that? Well, that's a tough one, isn't it? Whew. This is Lupita Nyong'o. She came out of nowhere to get an Oscar nomination for doing this film. And she was prepared because as a child with her family in Nigeria, she would do plays to her family when she was 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. There was absolutely no difference for her. It was just another play to the family, except there was multi-millions in this family that she was performing to. But she was totally prepared. Stepped up out of nowhere. Who's this on the top left-hand side? Anyone know who that is? C6 Steve. Who had ever heard of C6 Steve? And someone had. Okay, there's always one. Before Jules Holland's New Year's Eve hootenanny a few years ago, and now C6 Steve is playing Glastonbury. He had actually been prepared for this because for years before this, he'd been a session musician. A session musician is someone whose job it is to play music on bands. So you might hear a famous name of a person, and you know the name of the singer, but their bands always change, and they have session players come in that are really top quality. And he's been a session player for many years of his life. And suddenly overnight, who being on a TV show in his own right, he comes out of nowhere. But he is completely and utterly prepared. How many of you recognize the chap on the bottom right? You might recognize this. Open Gangnam Style.
Recognize that? I bet you loved it, didn't you? I bet you listened to it before you came to church this morning, just to really cheer yourself up.
Oh, dear. In 1996... Psy made his first computerized song in his apartment, and yet it took until 2012 to do exactly the same thing, and then just suddenly came out of nowhere, and this song went viral, went around the world. But he was prepared for that long time ago. Just like David, what all these have been doing in their everyday life behind the public eye was exactly what was ready for took them to be able to do it on the bigger stage in life. David was exactly the same. He had discovered a really simple truth. When he was a young lad, he had discovered something really simple. And it was what enabled him to beat Goliath. It's what enabled him to actually take the throne beyond that. He discovered that God prepares through lions and bears. God prepares through lions and bears. You have lions in your life, and you have bears in your life, and God prepares through those. Listen to David's own voice, if I can find it here. Verse 34. Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from this mouth. This is nothing new to me. I'll just treat him the same way I used to treat these people. David came from absolutely nowhere because he'd been prepared for years because he fought lions and bears. And what he did on one level was exactly what he needed to do to go to the next level. But David had a number of people which he had to get through and get past to enable to do it. But they didn't believe it. They weren't ready for it. They couldn't expect it. His brother's voice basically said, you can't do this. Eliab said, how dare you come here? And started raining down all these accusations upon him. And David's spirit was, yes, I can. I've been prepared through lions and bears. I can do it. Now, this Bible story is not so bad in terms of elaborating on this little tete-a-tete between him and his brother. But is there anyone in this room who's got a brother? Can you remember back to when you were a kid, when you were this age? I mean, if I was David, I would have really gone to town on this. I couldn't have taken it. I'd have had to kind of rub it in. I'd have just, you know, looked at him and said, I'm going to do this. I might have even got my dad dance out. I might have just said, yeah. Lions and bears, I'm doing it, Eliab, I'm doing it. I might have even done, you know, a little dance where you get both feet together. I might have even just gone, whoo, just to kind of taunt him, just to kind of, oh yeah, I'm doing it. You're scared, you've been scared, and I've just turned up here, and I am going to do it. Lions and bears. I might even break out a break dance move. No, I won't do it. I could, but I won't. That's exactly what was going on between those two. People who are familiar to you your family members or other church members or people that you work side by side, they don't know the lions and bears you've been tackling in your own life. Someone who is your boss may not see the lions and bears you've dealt with in another employment. You may be new to this church and no one here has seen what you've done in other churches. Some people may never have seen what you did in your bedroom when you were a young child, dreaming about what you felt you wanted to do. And yet you feel totally ready to do this now. I remember as a young lad, I was doing my Christian Union at school. I was 16 years old. And I used to read my sermon notes, my message, off a piece of paper, word for word, just literally read it like that. And I used to really shake and get nervous. And then this opportunity came up in our church to do an outreach by the River Thames. And we were going to hire this side of a kind of a grass area, grass bank, where loads of people used to go and hang out on a sunny day and buy their ice creams. And our church hired an articulated lorry and pulled the side down, and we're doing various dramatic events all the time throughout the day and just evangelizing and sharing the gospel. And I actually said to my minister at the time, I said, can I preach? Can I stand on the back of the articulated lorry and can I preach? And you'll never guess what? My minister actually went, yes, which I was amazed at. But he had no idea what I'd been doing. But I felt totally, I mean, I'd only been reading it off a piece of paper, but I felt ready. And they trusted me, let me do that. It was so fantastic. And when you break through and have that opportunity to do that, it just opens up so many more things. And David had done that through his own battle with his brother and come through because he knew that God prepares through lions and bears. Then you've got King Saul. His voice, he's the incumbent person. He's doing things his way. He's running the kingdom the way he wants it to be run. And he's not able to go and fight Goliath. So he basically assumes that pretty much no one else will be. And he's given as many, I wouldn't say temptations, but as many offerings down as he can to kind of twist people's arm. It'd be tax-free for life. You can have the wife of my daughter in marriage. I presume she was good looking. Obviously, we don't know. But it must have been something. And all the people are kind of talking about it. But even those incentives weren't enough for anyone to stand up and say, I'll do it. Well, I mean, David didn't really need those incentives. He knew. He was cool. He was thinking lions and bears. I'm ready. I don't know if you ever saw the first ever Who Wants to Be a Millionaire winner in America. Do you remember that program years ago? Has anyone seen it? Put your hand up. Have you seen Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Fantastic. This guy in America, he was so cool. He got to the final question and he had one more phone a friend left. So on the final question, he used it. And everyone was thinking, oh no, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Is he going to do it? Is it going to be right? And the person rang. His dad picked up the phone. It was his dad. And he said, Dad, I'm just about to win $1 million. I know the answer to the question, but I thought I'd tell you first so you can hear me win it live. And everyone was like, ah, he's so cool. And you can imagine David saying, just tell me, what is there that I'm going to win? I'm going to win. You don't think I am, but I'm going to win. But what is there just so I know? And you can hear him in his heart going, God prepares through lions and bears. I've got this one sorted. And that's exactly what happened. He got all those things. Then there was Goliath's voice. You may have to stand against that. A very intimidatory voice. A very angry, accusing voice. You don't stand a chance. You can't do that. You know, you may have one of these different three types of people in your life. You may have someone who knows you well and is trying to say, you know, you can't really do that. You may have someone in authority who's always done things a certain way and you're saying, well, actually, no, I can do it differently. And you've got to get past them. You may have someone who's really accusing you, controlling you, trying to keep you down, because they're afraid of you, or they're worried about you, or they feel insulted by your attempt to try and overcome the situation in a way they haven't done. And this is basically Goliath. He tried to intimidate David even before the battle was won. That's what most sports people do. They try and crush the soul of the opposition before they reach the field of play. If you watch the Olympics and see people warming up for their races, they're already staring each other out. If you watch the Olympics in the swimming, you can see that was going on this time between, was it Ryan Lochte and who's the American, that famous American swimmer? Phelps. And they were staring each other out. It happens in the Grand Prix, always staring out, and they try and crush the opposition, psych them out even before the race, so the race is just a matter of course. And Goliath was trying to do this, but David was having none of it. He knew that God prepared through lions and bears. It was just a matter of time before that Goliath just hit the floor. Now, see, the problem that we have sometimes as believers is we think, well, I'm not anointed. I'm not as anointed as somebody else. And we may hold up someone else as the epitome of what this activity should be done, or how the level of standard that should be done. And we think, well, I can't do that. I haven't got the anointing. They're anointed. I haven't got the anointing. And the anointing plays a role in David's life. We know a few bit before this, he'd been anointed by Samuel to be king. But it had no relation to God's preparation for him. David didn't get any anointing from Samuel to fight lions and bears. Where was David called from to be anointed? He was called from the fields. He was already fighting lions and bears. The anointing is what just confirmed what was already happening. You don't need an anointing from someone to tell you to do something. The anointing in Scripture confirms what you're already doing and just announces it to everybody else, just lets everybody else know. You are already ready to do certain things in your life. You need wait no longer. The anointing will come as you go. Imagine, for example, let's say you like singing around the house. Now, be honest with me. How many of you sing around the house? I do. Right, there's our worship team right there. I can remember, we used to have this toilet in our, obviously I had a toilet, but it was one of those really old toilets that had the tank high up, and it used to have a kind of a pendulum thing in it, what's it, the handle? I can remember, chain, that's it. Oh, took me back. I can remember swinging on my chain, singing. But I used to always sing in the loo. We had locks on the door, but I used to sing, walking around the house, up the stairs. I was a singer. If you're a singer, you're prepared. Because that's a lion and bear to you. Obviously, you need to keep practicing and stuff, but there's the basic elements are there. Can you imagine that? Maybe there are some people that are really, really organized. They have their finances shipshape. They know exactly what's going in, what's coming out. They record it in certain ways. You know, if it wasn't for them, they know their whole house would fall apart. That's a treasurer right there. That's a charity organizer right there. That's a logistics manager right there. That's where the organizational skills all comes in. When you just run your own home, those are your lions and bears. God's prepared you already. What about anyone here love family videos? You make family videos. You always go to the, you know, and everyone's moaning at you. No, oh, do you have to get the camera out? Oh, he loves his films, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, well, that's God's preparing you. Have videos at the back. We can do videos on our website for the church. You could do videos as a job. My younger brother has just started his own business up doing photography because he's always loved photography. He used his student loan, foolishly I think, but he used his student loan not to pay for his fees, but to go to Sweden and Norway and other countries to take photographs. I don't think that's a good idea, but he was so passionate about it, and it's only now that he begins to do it as a career, and that's what happens. God prepares us through lions and bears. In these simple ways, we do this. That song that we sung earlier, King of Kings, Majesty, that was written by a guy called Jared Cooper, and Jared Cooper and I used to share a house together, and he was in one bedroom, and I was in the other, and one morning he came down to breakfast and said, oh, I've just written a song. Oh, great. We're going to play it in the morning meeting because we used to be part of a Bible school then at the time. And so he walked up on the stage, sung this song, and we all just went, Is that Jared? Fantastic. That song has gone round the world on every continent. That provides a very good living for the pastor who's now up in Yorkshire. Fantastic. completely surprised by that. I have an older brother who writes movie scripts for Hollywood. How many of you have read the book The Shack? Have you read that? Anyone seen it? My brother's just directed the movie. £20 million, got two Oscar winners involved in it. It's fantastic. I just happened to have a look at it this week on his iPad. He's just doing the final bit. My brother was crazy. At school, when he was 13 or 14 or 15, and the school teacher said to him and all the class, I want you to write an English story for homework. Well, you and me, we just go home and we chuck a few lines down on a page and hope that and write in slightly bigger writing, and then spread our writing out. We won't get usual 13 words per line. We'll get kind of 10 or 9 maybe. Not my brother. Oh, no. He had some kind of disease at that age. He wrote an entire textbook. An entire textbook. And not only that, then he illustrated it in cartoon form in another textbook in the space of about 3 or 4 weeks. And he just handed it into his teacher. And I said to him, are you okay? Yeah, I just got this story in my head and I just thought I'd write it out. And people are like that. That people don't realise what they're doing. You don't realise what you're doing. You are doing awesome things. God is preparing you. You're fighting lions and bears in your day-to-day life. But because you're so used to it every day, it's just water off a duck's back to you. But to everybody else, it's real head-turning kind of stuff. It's incredible. And God prepares through lions and bears. And that's what he's doing. That's what's happening in this story. Can you imagine, maybe if you have been in a job for a while and your boss has been away and you've been taking their responsibility, and then you find out the boss isn't going to come back, and most of our natural reaction is, oh, well, who's going to do it now then? Looking around. You've been prepared. You've just done your lions and bears. You've shown you can do it. You're ready for it. It's time for you to break through. Okay, you may not like the job, fair enough. But it's shown you can do it. You might want to start looking around for another job. What's normal to us is spectacular to others. Amen. Now, you're probably thinking to yourself, I don't have the experience. I don't have the training. That'll all come. But you've got the raw ability, the raw skill. God prepares you through lions and bears. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you that we are actually ready. You've made us ready. We came this morning not realizing we were ready. And now we hear, Father, that God prepares through lions and bears. Wow. God's stirring a few people up right now. It's almost like you can feel the atoms in your body spinning around. Your heart, your mind, your thoughts are whirring because you suddenly realized things are literally slotting into place for you. I can. God's prepared me. Thank you, Father. All those people who said that you couldn't, that's just dropping away now. You can. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank him now. Will you respond to him? You may already be doing what God's called you to do in your job. You may already be doing what God's called you to do. You may already have moved through that experience. But maybe there's one or two here today that you've discovered you're prepared. And it's that kind of gulping moment. Lord Jesus, thank you for helping us take that next step now. As you were with us, so you will be with us. As you were with David, so you were with him afterwards. Thank you, Jesus. Now in your heart, just determine what you're going to do next. After Goliath, David went on and took the throne. Years later, through adversity, he took the throne. What is your next step? From today onwards, let's have the worship team, if they'll come forward. And we're going to just respond to God. now where we're seated. And let the Holy Spirit show us what we're going to do next. The Lord has prepared our church for what we are going to do next after the members' meeting. Coming up in a few weeks' time, we're going to be discussing all those things which we've been talking about amongst ourselves. And people have been saying some great things. In my opinion, they've been saying some things that are beyond the capabilities of our church. And that really excites me, because I see that God has prepared us. We'll find out what those things are in a few weeks' time. But how exciting in our personal life and in our life as a church. God is preparing us for things. We feel ready to do things which are greater than we've done before. And we thank God for that. Let's stand together and we'll worship the Lord.